It is also suggested, and my other research, and in the book The Biggest Secret, it's detailed and documented in great detail, is that there was a Martian race, which was the white race, which actually came to the Earth and was interacting with the Earth, but as a result of the devastation and destruction of Mars, actually came here because it needed to survive. And this white Aryan Martian race based itself, and those that were here at the time of the cataclysm survived as a result of going into the high places in the Near East, what we now call Turkey, Caucasus Mountains, Iran, and that sort of area. And the amazing culture that appeared there, and I'll come to that in a second, was the result of this knowledge. This is another map of Europe and North America. Again, I'm talking about a cataclysm here, maybe about 4,800 BC, but there have been many of them. When you look at the geological and biological records, it's very clear this planet has had many cataclysms, just talking about one. Earlier, around 13,000 years ago, there was clearly another. And that area, which they call Appalachia, which is now sea, was actually land in that window of 13,000 years ago. What we call the Alps, what we call the Himalayas and the Andes, those fantastic mountain ranges only reached anything like their present height around 13,000 years ago. So the Earth, while we've lived through quite a stable period in known human history, actually changes its face from time to time, quite obviously, because of various events. Atlantis was supposed to have been one of the ancient cultures back in the ancient world which had this advanced knowledge and was destroyed by cataclysm. And again, this is a theme all over the world when you look at the ancient texts and oral traditions of this land of high technology, of high knowledge that was destroyed by cataclysm. And so once this cataclysm and cataclysms had unfolded over this period of time, 13,000 down to 7,000 years ago, that kind of window, a number of them, that great ancient civilization of knowledge, what the ancients called the Golden Age, was wiped from the face of the earth, and we started again. But we started again with different levels of knowledge. Among the survivors of these upheavals were the mass of the people who survived, or the representatives of them, who were still in ignorance, and then again there were the few who had the knowledge. So it all started again. Same structure, and we've moved into the modern world where we're now at a point where we were a long, long time ago before these cataclysms wiped that civilization from the face of the earth. So what we're looking at here is the area that they concentrated on, where the white race actually came out of, interestingly. When they're talking about the Martian race being a white race and actually focusing in that area of the world, the Caucasus Mountains, southern Russia, that area, Caucasus Mountains, down into what we now call Turkey and those areas around there, Iran. That's where the white race came from. The actually original name of Iran translates as land of the Aryans. When you look at the Hindu culture in the Indus Valley, which was one of these cultures, again, that spontaneously emerged with advanced knowledge, even conventional history accepts that that culture, the Vedas and the structure of the Hindu religion, etc., was taken into the Indus Valley by an Aryan white race from the Caucasus Mountains. And when the floodwaters started to recede down from the high places, which could be the translation of Anunnaki, those who came from the high place, came down into the Indus Valley, into the plains and valleys of Sumer, and they created the Sumerian culture, which is accepted again by conventional history, didn't start at this level and gradually evolve. It started at a very high level of advancement and then gradually fell away. Same with Egypt. It started at a very high level of advancement and then gradually fell away. Babylon, another one. And again, there are different uses of knowledge. And Babylon appears to have been a center for those who were in a state of being that wanted to use this knowledge to control, because Babylon was where so much of the manipulation and control of today actually came out of. So, in short, we have an extraterrestrial race in that area, interbreeding with humanity, creating hybrid bloodlines. Now, in The Biggest Secret, I go into this in much more detail, but it seems to me that along with this white Martian race was what UFO researchers have called a reptilian race. And the detail of that is documented there. And it's this reptilian race that also interbred with humanity, and I think the reptilian race were the Anunnaki. When the first interbreeding took place, the hybrids were half human, half Anunnaki, I think reptilian. And they interbred with this Martian race, this white race that became the race that took over the world, in effect. When a second interbreeding took place, it wasn't between the Anunnaki, the reptilian race, and the humans. It was between the Anunnaki and their hybrid bloodstreams. So now we're going 75% Anunnaki reptilian, 25% human. These bloodlines, what I will call the pure bloodlines, the pure hybrids, these are the ones when you trace into the modern world that turned up as the pharaohs, as the ancient kings of Iran, the so-called serpent kings, that became the aristocracy of Europe, that became the royal families of Europe, and through the great British Empire became the presidents, business leaders, bankers of the United States. The reason that these families of the Eastern establishment of the United States that produce the people that run America and the European aristocracy and royal families, the reason throughout history that they have obsessively interbred with each other and not outside is because they're trying to hold this genetic structure. This is a picture I took of a partial eclipse of the sun on a pyramid at Chichen Itza in the Yucatan, a Maya pyramid. And understanding the two levels of knowledge of the sun from the ancient world to today is to understand much about this manipulation and what's been happening in the world. On one level, the masses obviously focused on the sun because of its heat and warmth and its effect on their lives and their crops and all that stuff. But the few at the top of these pyramids of control, the advanced race or races, if you like, they understood the much bigger nature of the sun. The fact that it is not just a source of heat and light, it is a fantastic generator of magnetic electrical energy, which is affecting life on Earth second by second by second by second. And so, in summary, what you had here was a white Martian race, which its hierarchy had this knowledge, and this Anunnaki reptilian race, and you'd have to see The Biggest Secret for the enormous documentation of that being true, and they also had this knowledge. And below both, you had the mass of the people who didn't have this knowledge of the sun and much else. And a tussle took place between these two races, and eventually the reptilian race, through their bloodlines, took control and now control the world. So let's have a look at the nature of this knowledge of the sun. What you're going to see now are sunspots. Great arcs of fantastic energy that are emitted from the sun in cycles. Sometimes they're very powerful, sometimes they're less powerful. And the sun is 99% of the mass of the solar system. When it changes, everything changes. And a great example of what I'm talking about and how it affects us and how the ancients knew about this is a guy called Maurice Cottrell. Earlier on in his life, he did a lot of research into sunspot activity, solar flare activity, these projections of energy from the sun, and he found that they could be put into various cycles, small cycles, medium cycles, great cycles over thousands of years. Later on in his life, he came across the Maya information left in Central America, the Yucatan, by the Maya people who picked it up from previous people, and again, you go back eventually to this extraterrestrial race, or races, emphasis on the races, and they have put together a symbolic and mathematical structure that talks about cycles of human evolution, small cycles, medium cycles, great cycles. And Cottrell found, to his surprise, that these Maya cycles of human evolution corresponded even over thousands of years in remarkable synchronicity with his cycles of sunspot activity, projections of energy from the sun. He also looked at the various historical cycles and found that the rise and the fall of great civilizations like the Roman Empire corresponded to these cycles of sun energy. So when the sun changes, we change. We are encouraged at some points to be open to more aggression or more this or more that. Now, if you know that, and you know that at certain times the mass consciousness is more likely to react in a certain way, then you know, as you're manipulating the world, when to have your wars, when to have your economic collapses. And this is why, as many researchers, not just myself, have established, that these events tend to happen in key years relating to sunspot and sun energy cycles. Therefore, in the ancient world, there was the knowledge of the sun in its true importance and its true effect, and then there was the mass of the people who just looked at it in a totally different way. And this is why in the cultures of the ancient world, you found, again, here a chair from Egypt, a throne from Egypt, a Akhenaten chair, the pharaoh, sun. Gold, the solar color, the solar metal. This is why the obsession was with gold. Also, lions, you find a tremendous symbolism of the lion. The lion with its long mane symbolized the sun, which is why it was always there. Here again in Sri Lanka, gold and the sun. Here in Rome, the two lions, the sun and the disc, the sun. Again, understanding this. Now, here, much more recently, this is the sun chair of George Washington, first president of the United States. And the reason that you find the symbols of the ancient world used by this high advanced level of knowledge in the more modern world, right to the present day, among the secret societies and among the countries in terms of flags and symbols, etc., is because the same knowledge stream is used today and the same manipulation is used today as always was. Now, this is a symbol that explains so much about religion and many of the symbols you see in the modern world. Because of the focus on the sun in its various levels of importance and understanding, this symbol was devised in the ancient world to symbolize the passage of the sun through the year. They did the circle with the zodiac, zodiac coming from a Greek word meaning animal circle appropriately. They broke the circle into four, the seasons, with the cross, and they put the sun on the cross. I've heard that somewhere before. So what they did is to focus their symbolism on this journey of the sun. This is why when you look pre-Christian, pre-Jesus, you find an endless stream of deities in the ancient world who were given birthdays of December the 25th. Why is that? Because around December 21st, 22nd, you have the lowest point in the sun cycle in the year, in the northern hemisphere anyway, which is the winter solstice. And at that point, the ancients said the sun had symbolically died. 3 days later, the sun had demonstrably started its journey back to its peak in the summer. And at that point, December the 25th, they said the sun was born or born again. And because Christianity was created by, in the form we know it, by a sun-worshipping Roman emperor called Constantine the Great, that's why Jesus was given the birthday of December the 25th, symbolic of the sun, which is what Jesus is to a large extent. The evidence that he existed is like almost non-existent, if not non-existent in total. So by Easter, the sun was entering the sign of the ram or the lamb. And so they had ceremonies in which they sacrificed lambs in the pre-Christian world because they believed that by sacrificing the lamb to the gods, they would have good luck and their sins would be forgiven and all that stuff. Now, this is where the symbolism of Jesus and so many mirrors of Jesus in the pre-Christian world, that's why we constantly get this recurring story of the lamb who died so our sins could be forgiven. Now, what the ancients also did is they symbolized the sun as a baby at the December the 25th time as a kind of a youth at Easter and as a strapping, strong, immensely strong man in the height of the summer, and losing his power in the fall, autumn, and then being an old man back towards the winter solstice. And they symbolize the sun as a person with long golden hair, just like the mane of the lion. And so this is where the Old Testament story of Samson comes from. Samson. And what happened was they had him with long hair, big strapping man, the sun at the peak of the summer. And then what happened in the story, he started to lose his strength. And what happened to make him do that? He had his hair cut. The rays of the sun were getting less and less powerful as he entered the house of Delilah, Virgo the Virgin, which is the astrological sign as you're entering into the fall. And so, so often, and again in The Biggest Secret, this is documented constantly, this is why you get constant stories which we are asked in the masses to take literally, therefore a prison religion emerges, when in fact they're symbolic, and often symbolic of the sun. So, this is what this is, the Celtic cross. It's the circle and the cross, the symbol I've just had on the screen. This is NATO. NATO is a wholly owned subsidiary of this brotherhood, this group of bloodlines, the reptile-human bloodlines, the hybrids that run the planet. Again, this is the CIA symbol. Again, there's the cross with the sun on the cross. And this sun symbolism is something that you can read this brotherhood by. I came across this shot or this symbol in the City of London. Now, we'll get to this. The City of London is the operational epicenter of this global web of manipulation. And this is across the road from St. Paul's Cathedral. And again, you see the same symbolism. And on the center, you've got the black sun. Now, the black sun symbolizes two things. It symbolizes the negative use of solar energy. And it also symbolizes something that's becoming more and more obvious, and people are becoming more aware of. And that's that it's not just the planets that go around the sun in the solar system. The solar system is also traveling around a central point. And that central point is known symbolically as the black sun, kind of a galactic center. And it takes 26,000 years for the solar system to go around that sun. And we are now in the process of completing one of those 26,000-year cycles, which is why the world is changing and is going to change dramatically in the next 15 years to 2012. So again, this symbol keeps coming up in the modern world as well as the ancient one. Now, even in the design of cities, which this brotherhood has in the modern world controlled, you see exactly the same symbol. What you're looking at here is the Arc de Triomphe in Paris. Paris, like Washington and London, is a mass of esoteric symbolism and sacred geometry built by design into the street plan. And so what you have is the Arc de Triomphe with the circle around it. There's the center of the sun on the cross, if you like. And going off from there are 12 roads breaking up into the 12 segments, just like that symbol I showed you a few minutes ago. And this, again, is sun symbolism from the ancient world carried by this group. And even in the road, on the road plan around the Arc de Triomphe, you see the sun there making the point. But if you don't realize where all this is coming from, it just seems like kind of nice design. Again, up there, Order of the Knights Templar in the York Rite of Freemasonry. That symbol there with the cross and the crown is the way the symbol of the circle and the cross has been got into Christian churches without people realizing what it means. It's the same symbol, the cross and the circle. And again, you see the same symbol here. This is the famous painting by Leonardo da Vinci. Leonardo da Vinci was a very high initiate. In fact, he was the grand master of a elite secret society, still very much part of the manipulation today, called the Priory of Sion, S-I-O-N. And Sion comes from a Sanskrit word meaning the sun, the Priory of the Sun, is what he's actually saying. And this guy was an initiate who knew the underground story and the underground knowledge. This is why Da Vinci was able to make predictions and draw pictures of various technologies that were well ahead of his time. Now, what he's done here is present the Last Supper picture in the form of symbolizing that same symbol, the cross and the sun on the middle and the circle. He's depicted Jesus as the sun, hence the halo around his head there, and he's broken up the disciples into four sets of three, symbolizing the three-month periods of the seasons and the sun going through them. This is why this constant recurring number of 12 and 1, the hero and the 12 followers, constantly reoccurs. This is why you have King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, the table, the circle of the zodiac. This is why again and again the big religious heroes had 12 followers, the sun and the months and the areas of the zodiac. This is an ancient stone depiction of the Phoenician and many other cultures within the Middle Near East, but certainly the Phoenician sun god called Bel or Bil, who became the Canaanite Baal. And there you see the halo around the top of his head symbolizing the sun. And this is vastly ahead of the emergence of Christianity, which then used the halo, because the same symbolism was used, because again is Zoroaster depicted with the halo and the rays around his head, because these guys did not actually exist. They were symbols of the sun. That level of knowledge knows that. This level of knowledge, the masses, takes the symbolic literal, and you have a prison religion.